All right, so my name is Josh Swamidas. It's a real pleasure to be here. I do want to point out one person, and well, two people in the audience, actually, that students you really should go talk to and meet. One of them is Dennis Lamoureux right here. Oh, actually, three. Dennis Lamoureux over here on the right, raise your hand. He is a professor of secular institution. He's living out a lot of what I'm going to be sharing today. Ken Wolgamuth, right here, yes, who I think is another geologist who is living out a lot of what I'm saying here, too.
Got a book for it, too.
Yeah. these guys have become friends of mine very quickly because I think we're just so aligned in our values. And so what we're going to be explaining, what I'm going to explain to you here is very, very rare, but I want you to know that it's not unique to me. You'll see it in their lives. The third person would be also, hey, how you doing, David? is Say Kim over here. And, you know, I have my own way of going about this. They're different. What you'll see is that, you know, different people have different personalities, different expertises, and all that sort of stuff, so it kind of colors it. But if you look at all four of our lives, I think you'll see to different extents and in different ways that this is actually something that all of us are living. All of us, you'll see flourishing people. Flourishing is this word that is supposed to be like kind of communicating this extravagant, effortless success. And like happiness. I'm not talking necessarily in a worldly way, though it sometimes does come out that way, but we know that what we do is significant. Like, I work longer hours than I ever dreamed possible right now, but it's not because I'm overworked. It's because I find something beautiful. I'm flourishing. I'm not a fearful person. I'm at a second institution. I'm a professor there, but I'm not a fearful person, even though I don't even have tenure yet. So what I want to talk to you about is how I got there, and what I think the key to flourishing in science is, the key to flourishing as a student, is the same thing my mother told me, really influenced by Indian missional Christianity. It's obedience, she would say. Obedience is better than sacrifice, quoting scripture. And it's obedience to the mission that God gives. It's not the mission that we create, it's what God gives us. So if you want to flourish, what I would say is a key thing that needs to be worked out in each one of our hearts is the willingness to obey in a costly way. So I'm going to talk to you a bit about my ministry, not to brag or to draw attention to me, just to give you like a case study of what this has looked like for me. And during the questions, I'll give you some examples of how I got, I'll kind of explain more in the details you want to, but the way I describe myself in the past and even now is as a scientist Christian. It's not a Christian scientist. for the obvious reason that everyone avoids it, but then also because that also implies that scientific, like the noun is Christian, and the adjective is scientist, right? I'm a scientific Christian. I don't think that that's true at all. I have a lot of problems with being a scientific Christian in that sense. But it also doesn't do dignity to the scientific side. I'd say it's more of an incarnate model. I'm a scientist Christian. I'm both a scientist and I am a Christian. And another type of language I've really come to be using, which I'm going to be focusing on today, is an idea is I'm a confessing scientist. And I think that's actually something that's deeply missing. You'll find out that there's quite a bit, there's a large number of Christians in science that have very real faiths, that are great scientists, but you would never know it. I would call them Christian scientists, but they're not confessing scientists. Confession is something different. Just briefly about my scientific work, I'm not at a Christian institution. I'm doing like the hard work of going out and getting grants, really by God's grace. I got two major R01 grants this last year. These are, you know, just like icons of what I do. I can kind of get into it later, but most of my work is focusing on computationally modeling how drugs become toxic. And a lot of this is also how they become toxic in children specifically. But we also do stuff in cancer genetics and genomics, so, and also in imaging. We have a very broad group. It's a small group too, but it's been wonderful. I love that work, and honestly, I could get excited about talking about that. I mean, if you think I'm passionate about this, I can get passionate about this too. But we don't have time for that. But I also say that my faith is confessed, and you can know this. You can know if a person's faith is confessed by just Googling them nowadays. So if you Google me, you'll very quickly find a blog at Peaceful Science. The tagline there is a confident faith in science. I'm a speaker for BioLogos. I've spoken last year at Urbana's. Also several Veritas forums every year. In fact, you can even invite me to be a Veritas forum speaker at your university if you want. And also religious conferences, intervarsity. I didn't even finish that because I was just writing the slide before. Sorry, it's videos and audio everywhere about my work. And it's like unabashedly, unashamedly Christian. You know, it's not that hard to figure out who I am and what I believe. I also am on a preaching team for a church, so there's sermons that don't even have science there where I'm just picking up scripture and preaching. Josh goes to church with me. He's seen them several times. I also kind of go into areas where people don't necessarily think are safe, like sometimes, you know, race issues and things like that. I've been told not to talk about them, but I will just mention them that now. You know, one of the big turning points in my personal growth is when I decided to actually write this Wall Street Journal article where I confessed my faith, which was terrifying because I understood it was going to be really public. It's remarkable. To this day, about once a week or minimum once a month, but usually about once a week, there's people in the secular world who will come to me talking to me about that article they came across. And one of the very first steps I had to be more public was in my CV during graduate school. I got a Harvey Fellowship, which was a Christian fellowship, and I put it on my CV. So if you actually see my CV, it's kind of hard not to see hints of it. You'll see that I'm connected to several organizations and such. And then, really significantly, because this was not a Christian organization, this was the AAAS, David Buehler found me online.
Because of the Wall Street Journal.
Because of the Wall Street Journal article. And invited me as assistant professor to be a science advisor for Concordia Seminary. If you meet Chuck Arand here, he's become a dear friend of mine through this. He's at the conference for the first time this year. Go up and be a friend to him. You know, that's a seminary that doesn't actually affirm evolution and can't because of their confessions, but they've become dear friends to me, even though I'm a theistic evolutionist. And then another big step is this last year I got a STEAM grant through WashU. Just to give you a sense of what that means, like that had to be approved by everyone in charge of my tenure to get a Christian grant to do something that did not actually accommodate non-Christians in their language at all, okay? And I did the risky thing of actually applying for it and then getting it and having to explain to them what to do with this. I mean, that was a little terrifying. But regardless, that's what happened. And so my faith is confessed at every level, very much like a fractal. I like that analogy. You'll find out if you look through my stuff, like the central theme roaming through everything I do is, who is Jesus? Like, I use every time I get up as an excuse to confess that Jesus is the man that God rose from the dead to make himself known to the world. I've even done it just now. That, I think, is what my purpose on this earth is to declare that good news, that Jesus rose from the dead. He's the risen one. That's how we know that God exists. He's good and wants to be known. Now, how would I describe my mission? I would say it's probably a two-part mission, and it really kind of falls into two things. One is being a scientist in the church. Another part is being a Christian in science. And in both, it's a truthful witness that's risky and costly. So as a scientist in the church, my truthful witness is about what I've seen in evolutionary science. With Dr. Kehoe this morning, she might have put the truthful witness of what she's seen in climate science. And what Ken Wolgamuth would say would be a truthful witness of what he's seen in geological science. I would just say the church needs wise leaders to be truthful witnesses of what they've seen. That is what my role and calling is in the church. And in the non-Christian world, I'll tell you, there's just a great deal of curiosity about Jesus, and it's also the command of God. I'm there to be a truthful witness of the risen Jesus, both of the history of the resurrection and and the testimony of all believers, but then also my personal experience with the risen Lord. I declare it not from the scientific experiment or the authority of the word science, but from the authority of my witness of having seen this. And there's an interesting relationship. I kind of put underneath there two other things, and I'll just say that these are two sides of the same coin. So when I explain my mission to Christians, I'll say, you know, I'm here to be a truthful witness of evolutionary science. I'm not trying to convince you to believe in evolution. I just want to be a truthful witness of what I've seen. But what I want you to understand, too, is that my role is to really confess the gospel in the scientific world. And there's a lot of seekers there. This is not a bunch of atheists that are out to attack your faith. There's a harvest there. Care and pray for them. Now, and it's interesting how exactly paralleled and mirrored my explanation is to non-Christians. I say, well, you know, part of what I do, and like a big part of what I do in my free time is really engaging religious communities to really understand that religious, I mean, that evolutionary science doesn't threaten their core values. So they can really get that. And I spend a lot of time talking about that. I say, you know, we live in a really angry and divided society. I think the right answer to that is to have better ambassadors of science that are really focusing on common ground instead of using science like a weapon. Science is too beautiful to be used as a weapon. My colleagues are amazed that religious communities are open. And I'll tell them stories about even how I dealt with Concordia Seminary and the kind reception I've gotten. One of the things I did this last year was bring my chair, once again, who's in charge of my my tenure, to give a talk at Concordia. It was an enchanted time. Were you there too? I think one of you was there, right? Maybe Jobin. But it was amazing. I can talk about that during the question and answer time. But then also very quickly, you know, if they start asking me about things, I was getting to this, I'll find out that I'm also going to be bearing a truthful witness to them about what I've really experienced with a risen Jesus. This comes up in almost every one of my talks, except for my pure scientific talks. But if I'm asked to talk about faith and science, or race, or whatever, that's going to come up everywhere. The other thing I'll point out, too, is that both sides are needed. So what gives you authority in any context is when you take risks for things that are important. When you take risks for things that people think are important, that gives you authority, even if people disagree with you. That's just how it works. It's a formula. It's the way the world works. And, you know, Christians that despise evolution will treat me and embrace me with respect because they see that I take risks to share the gospel. One of the best critiques of theistic evolutionists is that when I say best, it's not always true. It's not true, for example, of Dennis and me. But the critique is that that's just the easy way out to not really do anything of risk in the scientific world. And, you know, people accuse me of that, and then they'll be embarrassed and apologize when they find out what I really do. It gives me authority. So people will still say, I've even had several people tell me, like, I totally disagree with you, but I can see why God made you that way to have a role in that world. And so I'll be praying for you. Think about that for a moment. That's authority that comes from the fact that I have really intentioned to be obedient to Jesus and being able to risk everything. Like, this is the one thing that I'm willing to be fired over and be kicked out over science, is the resurrection. Right now, that's not the case. Like, I'm embraced by my colleagues, but if declaring Jesus gets me kicked out of science, I pray that I will have the wisdom to go gladly into exile. And, you know, so much of your time will be spent protecting yourselves and doing things that aren't risky. At some point, you need to decide what are you willing to be fired about. And I just don't think that there's any way a Christian can come to anything else but the conclusion that the gospel is something worth being fired over. Now, it has to be the correct understanding of the gospel. It has to be the right language. It has to be appropriate. But when you know all that stuff, that's something that is worth being fired over. At least that's what I believe. Now, in the non-Christian side, what I'll find is really remarkable. They're very curious about Jesus. They're very curious about Christians like me. I take the Bible really seriously. And I'm not distancing myself from young earth creationists. I consider them family. I can even explain why they do what they do in a way that makes sense to them. And I'm also clearly a scientist with them. And they look at me and they say, wow, we know. I mean, one of the Veritas forms I did was an atheist. And I kind of reassured her ahead of time, this is not going to be a day. I'm on the same page of view as evolution. And when she heard all that, she's like, whoa, maybe I'm a little more concerned for you getting on the stage with all these Christians here than for me. I think they're going to have a harder time with you. And I said, you know, you're right. But what's just interesting, though, is that most scientists don't want to deal with the church because the church is a place of abuse on these issues for them. And when you, as a Christian, have made a part of your public ministry to engage and deal with that, to deal with the issues in our own family, I'm just telling you, it gives you authority. People take what I say more seriously. They even are more willing to hear about Jesus from me. These things are deeply connected. I don't think I could do one side of this mission without the other. My mission to the world depends on my mission to the church. Being in the church depends on being in the scientific world and vice versa. They're deeply connected. And in this way, I've really come to one core thing you'll see in all flourishing people. They're the same people everywhere. They don't have different faces they put on. Now, they might have different languages they use. They might have different cultures they participate in, but they're the same people everywhere. And it's really through embracing obedience to God's mission I've been able to come to an integrated view of myself. This is really deeply rooted in theology. I'm just going to briefly touch on this. The key verse here is Romans 10:9. It says, confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord. I want to point out that this is not signed in a private statement somewhere. It's confess with your mouth, and it's actually a mirror confession to the confession of the day, which was that Caesar is Lord. You were supposed to confess that Caesar is Lord under pain of death, but Christians would confess with their mouth instead that Jesus is Lord. And the reason why they would do it, because they believed in their hearts that even if they were killed, even if they were put to the lions, that they would rise from the dead. So this is what a confession is. It's a public, personal, and risky statement that Jesus is Lord, which is possible because of our belief that Jesus rose from the dead, or because Jesus is raised from the dead. So something I do everywhere is I'll tell people, I trust Jesus more than science. I think Jesus is Lord of all things, including science. And I don't go to try and find ways to balance between Jesus and science. Like, I trust Jesus entirely. That's part of why I feel free to accept evolution, because that's not where anything of value is situated for me. So it was actually, for me, leaving young earth creationism was a return to orthodoxy. It was a return to Jesus and a return from idolatry. And I know that's a little bit of a backwards way of putting it, but that's the truthful story of how I got here. And this is kind of a little bit world-turning for a lot of young earth creationists, and that sometimes I would say even causes them to kind of see their own idolatry, the same idolatry to which I am and was subject. The last thing I want to do, especially for you as students and then turn to questions, is how has this been received? So I'm in the middle of I'm really privileged. My chair wants to nominate me for a AAAS Public Engagement Fellowship. Once again, AAAS is the scientific community. This is a couple excerpts from the letter he wrote. I was amazed to see his letter. He understood what I do. The best I can tell, he's not a Christian. He's definitely not involved in engagement. He understands that I really take religious belief seriously. He understands that what I'm doing is a peacemaking activity and that it's not designed to be anti-religious. He thinks it's truer to the heart of science than what's out there right now. And he endorses it. It's just amazing to me, the blessing that God has put. I think for me it's a fulfillment of it says that all creation is groaning, waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. I'm just telling you that even non-Christians are waiting for Christians to actually act like Christians are supposed to act in this world. Right? Isn't that amazing? And it's just so rare that we don't even have words to explain it. And that's been what I've been saying. I want to say that doesn't guarantee it's going to happen that way for you. Maybe you'll be privileged to experience some real persecution for this. You know, blessings on you for that. You're lucky. For me, I have experienced nothing but God's blessing in my career through it. And, I'm not tenured. I've been doing this entirely without tenure, but I found that basically my department decided to put me up with enthusiasm for tenure this year. None of this
praise
has gone.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, so by next ASA next year, I'll probably be a tenured professor. Now, there's a lot of tenured professors that are Christian, but I just want to point out to you, this happened in full view of all of the confession of Jesus that's happened, in full view of atheists everywhere. And they say, this is someone that we want to count as our colleague. He does great science, and he is also an uncommonly important and rare ambassador of science. That is what's before you, if you want it. I'm just telling you, it's very rare. It's something that we can point to individual people here and there, but even us, we need a new type of Christian in this world. We need a confessing scientist. And I hope that whatever you do, that you will choose that risky path. So with that, I'll pause and take questions. Thanks a lot.
We don't have a lot of time for questions. Make sure you speak out clearly. Guess, Dwight, what you got?
I'd be curious for you to articulate what you mean by the idea that young earth creationists have been meshed in some kind of idolatry.
Well, for me, the idolatry was that I believe in Jesus because of the Bible. I believe the Bible is true because of creation science. And that's how I find confidence in my faith. That just turns out to be a very anti-Christian teaching. Like, we believe it the other way around. I actually got a lot of understandings from Concordia Seminary. Actually, we believe in Jesus because of the resurrection. And it's because of Jesus that we come to believe the Bible and take it seriously. And if it wasn't for Jesus, I wouldn't trust the Bible, frankly. We would not be Christians if Jesus did not come to earth. We'd be something else. And we would not be trusting the Bible. I mean, I'd probably be a Hindu right now. And I mean that from a historical point of view. I also mean that from a family point of view and a personal point of view. Like, the most compelling thing about our faith is not the Bible. Even though the Bible is inerrant and true in God's word, that's not the most compelling thing. The most compelling thing about our faith is Jesus. Why have we put that above Jesus? And that was an idolatry that I was subject to, and it brought me into a type of insecure slavery in science rather than the confident faith that I have through Jesus.
But I think, isn't it true that there's actually a bit of a hermeneutical spiral involving knowing who Jesus is through the Bible?
Yeah, we can get into that later. I just want to make sure we have time for questions from the students, but I'm not concerned about that. This is actually a much more orthodox understanding from what I've understood and learned. Yeah,
I agree with you entirely.
Yeah, yeah. Does any other questions the students have? Go ahead.
I think a hesitation of a lot of Christians, well, in general, is that the orthodox Christian position on a lot of social things is very unpopular. So just saying I'm a Christian exposes you to, well, do you believe this or that about various social issues. Have you encountered those? How do you deal with
that? Yeah, so a great example is racism. That's part of the reason why I talk about racism. And I'm sorry for doing that again here. I mean, I get in trouble for doing that. And I live in St. Louis. It's a segregated city. It's a divided city. It's, like, very disturbing how hidden it is and how you can go through the city and not be bothered by it. It's not that you go to the city and you're bothered. It's just that you go to the city and you're not bothered. It's disturbing. And then you see how churches are complicit in that. And what I would just say is that churches and Christianity is just a man-made response to what God did in history, the raising Jesus from the dead. So I do not endorse what all Christians have done through history or all churches even do now today. I have big problems with it, and I stand against much of it. What I mean by Christian is the deeper sense of what it means to be Christian, is to follow Jesus. And I think the bigger problem is just that there's not a lot of Christians following Jesus. And when you put it that way, my colleagues, my non-Christian colleagues, they look at me and go, like, well, how do I find more Christians like you? And, that's just, like, the most common response. And it raises questions about, well, why do you still associate with them? I mean, we can get into that, and it all traces back to Jesus. Like, what the church is not individual instantiation to the local church. It's a community of all people who follow Jesus. And we don't have a choice about who those people are. So if we believe people are following Jesus in these places, that's where our family is, even when they're doing wrong. And so it kind of binds us to that. It's what really motivates us to really speak out against the wrong we see there. It's because we're connected to that, too. It has an effect on us. So, some people just abandon the word Christian entirely, or abandon entirely the word evolutionist and all that. I think there's an issue of choice of wisdom about when you do that versus what I have been doing in these cases of recovering it. So that's just what I've been doing. Maybe one question we got to go. Or is it we done?
We're probably over, but if we have one.
We got started late, though, too. So.
Yeah. Is there another student who has a question?
Well, I'll pass on that question because that's online. We can talk about that later. But maybe I will. Yeah, actually, this is a good point. So I brought a young earth creationist and an older creationist to give a talk at WashU and the secular universities on stage. Think about the risk involved in that. And I didn't do that to argue with them. I didn't. They were more argumentative than me. I did it to say, I have a lot of common ground with you. And to really explore, is there a way forward or common ground? And without getting into details, I would say that act of peacemaking was surprising in so many ways. It attracted more opposition than many of the things I've done. People being more upset that I was doing it by Christians. I mean, Christians being more upset I was doing that. It also, was also beautiful. I saw the move of the Spirit in secular universities in ways I'd never really seen it before. As Christians across great divides stood publicly and took risks to acknowledge that, we're the same body and that these things are not as important as people make them. So, to follow Jesus is to pursue peace, but our world is defined by war. Pursuing peace creates conflict. at a scale that I never knew. And you risk people calling you, the one who's creating war, but really what's going on is something different. It's just that we're choosing to live in the reality that God calls us into instead of the dream to which everyone else has, devoted themselves. I mean, and I don't say that as like I'm unique in that. That's just what God calls us all to do. I think it's through Jesus we get to see the world truly for what it is and to live according to that. And it's just so different from the world as we see it that it brings us to conflict with them. So thanks a lot, guys.